Hawaii has had its own experiences of discrimination against Asian Americans. We like to think of that as history. But what does discrimination against Asian Americans look like at a very different time and a very different place? The time is now. The place is Fremont, California, a very desirable suburb in the Silicon Valley. The nature of how discrimination changes is the subject of a new book. Contributing editor Neil Milner has given it a read, and he says there are some lessons for Hawaii. Hi there. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So we're talking about Willow Lung Amam's new book, Trespassers, Asian Americans and the Battle for Suburbia. So why the Fremont suburb?
Well, the Fremont suburb is interesting and important for two reasons. First of all, it's part of the Silicon Valley, and so it has a very wealthy, relatively wealthy population, the majority of which is Asian immigrants or second generation and so on Asian. The second thing is that it went in a very short period of time from being overwhelmingly white, 80% white, to majority Asian American, primarily Chinese, Taiwanese, and South Asian. And the fact that it's in the suburbs makes it very, very important, because the cities in this country that are majority Asian American, 20 of them, there are 20 such cities, 18 of them are suburbs. So that's happening. And it's a very different kind of immigration into suburbs than we're used to. So this is what's set up. Plus the fact that the suburbs historically are associated with some very important norms, one of which is whiteness. Suburbs have been created over time to give white people, with the sanctions of the government, an opportunity to live in enclaves. Now, that started to change because suburbs now are more diverse, but you still have this idea that the normal suburb is a homogeneous suburb and so on. This is a challenge to that. And even though these people are very influential and well off, the Asian Americans generally, it still challenges old norms.
So why do you find some significance as you compare that to Hawaii, where we saw some of the same things happen, which we tend to look at now as, well, that was way back when? Certainly not now. You walk to any suburb and you see a very diverse population.
Well, this place is different in lots of ways. The ideas that we have about the Asian Americans being outsiders here was at a very different period in history. And so you have to think about this place in a different sort of way. But there are still certain similarities that get played out in different sort of ways, and one of which involves how people think about housing. One of the big issues in Fremont was about people coming in and breaking down the old kind of suburban ranch and putting up large houses that get called McMansions. It turns out that a lot of those people were Asian Americans, especially with immigrant ties, and so they began to build these houses, and they were seen as outsiders for building these houses. They were seen as being different and being intrusive. No one really ever paid much attention to why these people were building them. They were just saying they were McMansions. And I think that's something like what happens here.
When you go down into Kahala.
When you go down into Kahala, we judge them on the basis of their being ugly. We judge them on the basis of certain kind of stereotypes. But the fact of the matter is that historical preservation and blight and ugliness all reflect a certain set of values that are not necessarily the memories and the landscapes and the values of what newer people might want to have in their communities. And that's what the fight in Fremont was about. And one of the anti-big houses, because this became a big issue about planning and zoning, there was a sign that said, leave it to beaver houses forever, in the sense of saying the ranch, a certain way a suburb looks, is the way that it should be. And these kinds of houses, as well as shopping centers, as a matter of fact, that have a different kind of flavor, more Asian flavor in terms of the shopping centers, they're interlopers. It's not out-and-out racism. It's not the kind of racism that you had here up until, say, the 1960s, even the 19th, you know, where there was overt discrimination in certain kind of clubs. This is a very different kind of thing, but it's a very powerful one anyway.
In terms of normalcy, then, I hear you saying that this is a real change and almost, you know, putting it on its head in Fremont compared to what most people would think about when they think of a suburb, even people in Hawaii who have been here for a number of years. So how do you look at this normalcy change in Fremont as being perhaps representative of places that we haven't really talked about?
Well, I think that's I think you put it in an interesting way. Even people who've lived here all their lives have a certain kind of image of suburbs. Actually, we have places that look like suburbs here, but they have some very important differences. They don't have their own school systems, and that's a generally struggle. We have a certain vision of suburbs that we tend to see as normal. And what the author says is that if you want to have true diversity, you can't simply look at the number, the fact that you're a majority minority or all these other things and that you have lots of restaurants. You really have to begin to think much more about what do the new values mean. And that's very hard. What you really have here is a group of people who are challenging a notion of the suburbs that is so historically ingrained and so much associated with it being normal. And when you begin to challenge a neighborhood's normalcy, it becomes very different. I'm very sympathetic to the challenge. I should say that. I don't want to sound like here that I would be opposing that kind of diversity. But the fact of the matter is, it's very powerful to say the neighborhood integrity has always looked like this: ranch homes, lots of land. And we don't like the fact that they're changing the looks of the place. Well, as you fight the looks of a place, you're also the battle is also taking on a racial dimension.
You mentioned something a little earlier in that, okay, we don't have school systems that are inherent in certain areas and certain suburbs. That's very different in Hawaii. Nobody fights over getting into public schools here. It's a very different idea. But there are still certain issues that might come out, like, you know, what's the better school? Can you get a geographic exemption? Is this neighborhood better than that neighborhood? And is there a certain group of people in this group that's better than that group? In Fremont, the people who began to look at as outsiders were, in fact, white folks.
Yeah, well, that white flight in the schools in Fremont turned out to be white people leaving because the schools are turning into being too academically rigorous. The Fremont school system, especially the Mission San Jose area, probably has one of the top 10 public schools and arguably one of the handful of best high schools anywhere. But the values of the folks that are coming in, the Asian Americans, lots of them work in the Silicon Valley, is for a much more rigorous math and science curriculum, less extracurricular activities. The white kids, again, not all of them, but white kids begin to feel a sense that they're inferior because they want something that's a little bit more liberal artsy. And so you get this kind of outsidership again. And again, it's a kind of landscape of different sets of ideas. The school should reflect a certain set of ideas, and this other group thinks, well, we should keep the old ones.
Well, we could have a whole other conversation just about the educational component alone. But as now you've gone through the entire book and in much more detail than we have time for here, what's the big takeaway in terms of Hawaii?
Here's one takeaway. Somebody should look at Hawaii through this kind of lens. That is, look at these kinds of landscapes of difference. The story would be different. I'm not saying you can take Fremont and applying there, but thinking about space the way that they think about things there. Secondly, I think that issues of outsiderness and I think these issues of large homes and always assuming that it's foreign Asian immigrants or foreign Asian folks who live here part-time and are rich that are going into these things. I think we have to take a closer look at those kinds of things.
That sounds like another conversation. Thanks, Neil.
Sure.
Neil Milner is a political analyst and taught political science at UH Manoa for 40 years. He's the contributing editor of our biweekly segment, The Long View, and he'll be back in 2 weeks.